I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 213. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
In an early morning vote, the Republican-controlled House passed President Trump's rescission package. In a major blow to public media and local news, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will be defunded for the first time since it was established more than half a century ago. We'll speak to the president of Native Public Media. But first, the Epstein files. In a growing political storm in his own MAGA movement, some Democrats have joined President Trump's base in demanding more disclosures. We'll speak with Congressman Ro Khanna of California.
Mr. Speaker, I introduce today an amendment demanding the full release of the Epstein files. The Speaker's Rules Committee should demand a vote tomorrow of every member of Congress.
But where are the voices of the victims? We'll talk to Teresa Helm. She says, I'm a Jeffrey Epstein survivor. The documents are an opportunity. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The House of Representatives voted 216 to 213 early this morning in favor of President Trump's rescissions package, clawing back $9 billion in already approved funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. Only two Republicans oppose the measure, which now heads to Trump's desk for a signature. The legislation codifies Trump's cuts to foreign assistance through the U.S. Agency for International Development, which the British medical journal The Lancet reports could result in 14 million additional deaths globally by 2030. Catherine Maher, head of NPR, blasted the, quote, unwarranted dismantling of beloved local civic institutions by an act of Congress that disregards the public will, unquote. We'll have more on this later in the broadcast with Loris Taylor, president of Native Public Media, and Congressmember Ro Khanna. In the Gaza Strip, an Israeli strike today killed five displaced Palestinians sheltering in tents in Al-Mawasi, an area designated as a safe zone by Israel's military. The attack sparked a major fire. Infants were among the dead. Separately, Israeli attacks killed seven more hungry Palestinians as they search for parcels of humanitarian aid. Medical workers report Israeli attacks have killed at least 30 Palestinians since dawn today. This follows an Israeli airstrike Tuesday on a home in Gaza City's Al-Tufa neighborhood that killed 14 members of the Arafat family, including seven children. Video shows 35-year-old Hala Arafat trapped under the rubble of her home, crying out for help. Rescue crews attempting to approach the site over the next 8 hours were reportedly fired on by Israeli drones. During that time, Hala and other members of her family fell silent and died. This comes as the United Nations Children's Fund warns 21 months of Israeli attacks have killed more than 17,000 children in Gaza, with another 33,000 injured. UNICEF Executive Director Catherine Russell testified to the UN Security Council Wednesday.
An average of 28 children have been killed each day, the equivalent of an entire classroom. Consider that for a moment. A whole classroom of children killed every day for nearly 2 years. These children are not combatants. They are being killed and maimed as they line up for life-saving food and medicine.
Meanwhile, in the occupied West Bank, Christian leaders have accused Israeli settlers of attacking religious sites, including an arson attack on a cemetery and a 5th-century church in the Christian town of Taibeh. The Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem, Theophilus III, told reporters, quote, "We call for an immediate and transparent investigation on why the Israeli police did not respond to emergency calls from the local community and why these abhorrent actions continue to go unpunished," unquote. In southern Syria, heavy fighting has once again erupted between Druze fighters and Bedouin armed groups just hours after Syrian government forces withdrew from the province of Suwayda as part of a ceasefire deal. A spokesman for Syria's Interior Ministry is denying reports Syrian forces are being redeployed to the region. The UN Human Rights Office reports all factions fighting in Suwayda have committed widespread rights violations, including summary executions, arbitrary killings, kidnappings, and looting. President Trump says he's directed Attorney General Pam Bondi to release grand jury testimony from federal investigations into the dead serial sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. But Trump's announcement failed to quench a revolt among his MAGA supporters who are continuing to demand the Justice Department release all files related to Epstein. On Thursday, the White House ruled out having Trump name a special prosecutor to look into the case. Meanwhile, Republicans on the House Rules Committee adopted a non-binding resolution calling for the release of files on Epstein. Separately, Thursday, the Wall Street Journal reported Trump sent a lewd letter to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003, wishing him a happy 50th birthday. It concludes, "Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret." We'll have more on this story after headlines, including speaking with an Jeffrey Epstein survivor. Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee voted Thursday to advance the nomination of controversial Justice Department official Emile Bovee to a lifetime appointment on a federal court. The vote came despite vocal objections from Democrats after committee chair Chuck Grassley shut off debate on Bovee's nomination. All Democrats on the panel walked out of the vote in protest. Earlier this week, over 75 former federal and state judges sent a bipartisan letter urging the Judiciary Committee to reject Bovee's nomination. Separately, more than 900 former Justice Department attorneys issued a similar plea. Bovee has been called an extreme ideologue and has allegedly directed Justice Department lawyers to ignore judicial orders that undermine Trump's agenda. This is Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
As to Emile Bovee, let me start with this nominee. Having told a room full of Department of Justice lawyers that if the federal courts didn't back off on restricting unlawful deportations, they would have to tell courts, F you.
Democrats also accused Bovee of being involved in a Justice Department decision not to release the Epstein files. Emile Bovee is the former personal attorney of Donald Trump. As the Trump administration ramps up nationwide raids and deportations, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, will be given access to the personal data of the nation's nearly 79 million Medicaid enrollees, including their home address, social security number, ethnicity, and race. The new agreement was first reported by the Associated Press, and Trump officials have not publicly announced it. Undocumented immigrants are already banned from Medicaid benefits, but federal law requires all states to offer emergency Medicaid, which offers nearly free coverage for life-saving care at hospitals, regardless of a person's immigration status. This comes as a coalition of immigrant rights groups are suing the Trump administration over the arrest of potentially thousands of people at immigration courts nationwide in recent months. The class action lawsuit seeks to end ongoing collaboration between the Homeland Security and Justice Departments, which has led to ICE agents swarming courthouses houses across the country, ambushing immigrants during routine hearings. The group said the policy, quote, intentionally stripped people of basic due process rights in order to place them in expedited removal proceedings and deport them without hearings, the group said. A Truth Out investigation warns of intensifying police and ICE raids at massage parlors nationwide, targeting and disappearing hundreds of immigrant sex workers, including here in New York. Advocates have criticized the lack of resources supporting immigrant sex workers who've long been vulnerable to harassment and arrest by federal immigration agents, often abandoned in detention to face deportation without legal help. A human rights group in El Salvador reports at least 427 people have died in Salvadoran prisons since President Nayib Bukele imposed a state of emergency in March 2022. The following year, Bukele's government authorized mass trials with people accused of crime systematically, denied due process under the guise of combating gangs. There have been numerous reports of abuse and torture in El Salvador's prisons. In related news, the long-standing anti-corruption watchdog Cristosal says it has evacuated its staff from El Salvador amidst Bukele's crackdown on dissent. Authorities arrested prominent Cristosal lawyer Ruth Lopez in May. She remains in detention. This is Cristosal's executive director, Noah Bullock.
You know, we've persisted through espionage, monitoring, legal, administrative harassment, defamation. But when it became clear that the government was prepared to persecute us criminally and that there's no possibility of defense or an impartial trial, that makes it unviable to take those risks anymore.
French troops completed their withdrawal from Senegal Thursday, the last West African country and former colony where France maintained a permanent military presence. Senegal has said it'll continue collaborating with France in contrast with the military governments of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso, which ousted French forces in recent years. The U.S. Justice Department has asked a federal judge to sentence a former Louisville, Kentucky police officer convicted of violating the civil rights of Breonna Taylor to one day in prison. Last year, a federal jury convicted Brett Hankison of using excessive force as he discharged several gunshots through Taylor's apartment window during a botched raid that killed Breonna Taylor inside her own home in 2020. Taylor was a Black 26-year-old emergency room technician whose killing sparked nationwide racial justice protests. A judge has lifted all domestic travel restrictions on Columbia University Palestinian activist Mohsen Mahdawi. He's reportedly the first student activist targeted by ICE to be granted such freedoms. Mahdawi was arrested by federal immigration agents in April and detained in Vermont for over 2 weeks. He graduated from Columbia University a month ago. And CBS has announced it's canceling the long-running Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The network called it purely a financial decision, despite the show being consistently the highest rated among its late-night competitors. Trump has previously called Colbert, who frequently skewers the president on air, a complete and total loser. The news came amidst Paramount's impending and controversial merger with Skydance, and just 3 days after Colbert called out Paramount for agreeing to pay Donald Trump $16 million to settle Trump's lawsuit against CBS's 60 Minutes.
Someone who has always been a proud employee of this network, I am offended, and I don't know if anything will ever repair my trust in this company. But just taking a stab at it, I'd say $16 million would help.
CBS's The Late Show has been on the air since 1993, with Stephen Colbert taking the reins in 2015. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In President Trump's latest threat to journalists covering his administration and related scandals, he's threatening to sue the Wall Street Journal after an article was published late Thursday that alleges Trump contributed a sketch drawing of a naked woman to a birthday album for serial sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday, compiled by by Ghislaine Maxwell, now in prison for about 20 years. The paper did not publish the sketch, but described it as an outline of a naked woman with Trump's signature scribbled below her waist in a way to mimic pubic hair. The sketch came with a typewritten note the Wall Street Journal called an imaginary conversation between Trump and Epstein written in the third person. This is the note, quote, "Voice over, there must be more to life than having everything," the note began. "Donald, yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. Jeffrey, nor will I, since I also know what it is. Donald, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, yes, we do, come to think of it. Donald, enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? Jeffrey, as a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. Donald, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret," unquote. President Trump has denied he authored the message and is now calling the case the, quote, "Epstein hoax." But amidst growing outrage among his MAGA base over the new allegations and their calls for the Department of Justice to release more Epstein files, President Trump said he's directing Attorney General Pam Bondi to seek the release of grand jury testimony, which a judge would have to approve and would likely have little new information, as only a partial set of pages from the massive amount of files that are called the Epstein files. On Thursday, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt was asked if Trump would appoint a special prosecutor in the Epstein case.
Well, the idea was floated from someone in the media to the president. The president would not recommend a special prosecutor in the Epstein case. That's how he feels. And as for his discussions with the attorney general, I'm not sure.
This comes after the Trump administration said Wednesday it had fired longtime U.S. attorney Maureen Comey, who helped lead the successful prosecution of Jeffrey Epstein and his former girlfriend and accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell. Maureen Comey is also the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, who became a prominent critic of the president after Trump fired him in 2017. Trump on Wednesday dismissed the Epstein story as boring, but said he backed the release of any credible documents. He later lashed out against members of his MAGA movement over demands he release the Epstein files, calling his own supporters weaklings. For more, we're joined by Aswin Subsang, senior political reporter at Rolling Stone, covering the modern American conservative movement and GOP. His newest pieces are headlined "Team Trump was on effing warpath to kill story about salacious letter to Epstein," and "Inside Trump's frantic failing mission to crush the Epstein MAGA rebellion." Welcome to Democracy Now, Swin. It's great to have you with us from Cincinnati. Can you start off by explaining to people why the Epstein files have been so critical to the growth of the MAGA movement, have been so much a part of it, you know, along maybe as important as Trump's allegation that the 2020 election was stolen?
Well, since you mentioned his lies about the 2020 presidential election, isn't it funny which conspiracy theories, rabid right-wing modified theories in which lies from Donald Trump end up getting cemented into official federal government policy and Republican Party doctrine, and which ones are set aside as soon as they become sort of inconvenient for the dear leader. When it comes to his anti-democratic authoritarian lies about elections and the 2020 election across the federal government and different departments, it is being cemented into actually policy and practice. The lie that the election was stolen from Donald Trump in 2020, and therefore something has to be done about it, and there are all these different crackdowns going on. Now, when it comes to the far-right conspiracy theories about Jeffrey Epstein, suddenly Donald Trump and his government, after saying for months that to their supporters, not the American people specifically, but to their most MAGAfied, extremely online supporters, we're going to get this done, we're going to do something about it, suddenly they're taking on a completely across-the-board, full-court press, nothing-to-see-here folks attitude. It's a stunning reversal, because for years, some of the most prominent figures in the MAGA and also mainstream conservative movement, including some of the most senior appointees in Donald Trump's second term, like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel at the FBI, have been fostering these MAGA conspiracy theories about Jeffrey Epstein, saying that his death behind bars in 2019 was likely a murder that was committed to cover up the alleged sins and crimes of a sort of pedophile Democratic Party-run cabal that helps run the so-called deep state, and that these enemies of Donald Trump and MAGA were bumping off Jeffrey Epstein because they were afraid his testimony or the files or what he had to say or his alleged blackmail operations would implicate them. What I just described to you is what I would describe a borderline piece of holy writ and religious understanding within the MAGA movement. This isn't a small thing or conspiracy theory that they adopt or bandy about just because they want to or for fun. Among so much of the so-called MAGA grassroots, this is taken as almost a level of religious principle for them. Donald Trump, in trying to tell a lot of his supporters to move on finally from this issue, might as well be telling his evangelical supporters, by the way, adultery isn't a sin. You read that wrong in the Bible. That part of scripture doesn't exist. So for days now, going on nearly 2 weeks, as we've been reporting out at Rolling Stone, a very fundamental and sort of perversely fascinating aspect about the story is that President Trump and other senior lieutenants in his administration in the White House and elsewhere have been throwing a ton of time and resources at trying to mitigate the damage they've done to themselves, both within the federal apparatus and also outside among the broader, shall we call it, the MAGA sphere, and among President Trump's supporters. They've been doing a ton of damage control and a bunch of outreach efforts, including to top MAGA influencers who Trump himself has been personally beseeching, trying to get them to lay off of him and just, you know, drop this whole Epstein kerfuffle. What we've been picking up on in our days of reporting on this is a level of operation that you typically see from administrations and White Houses when they're trying to pass major pieces of legislation on Capitol Hill, not when you're trying to get the Charlie Kirks of the world to lay off of Pam Bondi when it comes to the famous pedophile. So there's a lot of layers to this, a lot of rifts and backlash that's going on throughout MAGA world, not just in influencer communities, but even within the vast federal apparatus and within the very tippy top levels of federal law enforcement itself. And these are having dramatic consequences for Donald Trump right now in a way that currently has no end in sight. And again, this is all over conspiracy theories that his people long nurtured for years and years. It's absolutely fascinating.
So if you can talk about Dan Bongino, number two at the FBI, as it's been described, a former Epstein obsessive, also Kash Patel, head of the FBI. Is this a true rift between them and Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and Trump? Trump, who just talked about speaking with Dan Bongino and that he's doing fine. And then what more do you have on the divisions within the Trump administration around this? For example, J.D. Vance doing damage control and more. And how damaging is this, that Trump is telling his own supporters he doesn't care about them anymore, insulting them by calling them weaklings, saying this is a Democratic plot, when in fact it's come up a groundswell from within the MAGA movement?
Right. Well, when you talk to people close to Donald Trump, whether it's those who work in the upper echelons of his second administration or other Trump advisors or just people in his broader social and political orbit, one recurring element that they'll tell you in recent days is, look, the way Donald Trump is conducting himself publicly and the way he keeps talking about this and trying to post through it online, it is making it exceedingly difficult for some of his biggest supporters and boosters to not start at least suspecting that he has something to hide, or maybe even that, well, he's kind of acting like someone who is in the so-called Epstein files in some sort of embarrassing or nefarious way, whether he is or isn't, that's an issue for transparency that Trump and the federal government have the power to follow through on. They're just absolutely refusing to right now and playing all of these different bait and switch games. So, like anybody who follows the MAGA fever swamps, even casually, can see that this isn't something that's not going away anytime soon, and that this is something that, as much as they would like to say over and over and over again, Donald Trump is promulgating these ridiculous conspiracy theories that, oh, Obama and Hillary Clinton wrote the Epstein files, in part maybe to try to get Trump. That's something that just does not scan for people who adore Donald Trump, generally speaking, because that's a conspiracy theory that was just invented out of thin cloth by Donald Trump and is just not anywhere in the MAGA lore about what these Epstein files may or may not say. And to your other question about what is going on within the actual federal government, not just in far-right influencer communities or whatever, something we flicked at in our reporting over the past 9 days or so at Rolling Stone is an element which actually hasn't really permeated that much in national political media for going on for quite a while, at least several months. Attorney General Panbani and other officials in Trump's appointed federal law enforcement, like Trump hyper-loyalist Kash Patel, who is, of course, now director of the FBI, they do not like each other. There's been petty feuds and long-simmering tension between them for personal tension between the two of them for quite some time. And this whole Epstein debacle has only exacerbated that and brought that back to the fore. And also, even more so than that, it's definitely no secret nowadays that the number two at the FBI, Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi, are incredibly distrustful of each other, especially with this whole Epstein mess, and really, really do not like each other to the point where anybody of any level of influence you talk to in Trump land or within the federal government right now will tell you that Dan Bongino has basically torched his reputation or standing, as it were, with other senior lieutenants in the Trump administration, and that it, no matter how long he officially stays on the job right now, his days are numbered, both because of his own antipathy for this situation and the bridges that he has just burned completely into the sea on this matter. So all of this, it's not hyperbole at all to say that the Epstein affair, as it is right now, has kind of set the Trump administration at its very highest levels on fire and has threatened to tear it apart in the form of, we don't know what in the next week or two necessarily the makeup of the leadership of federal law enforcement is going to be. I also think it is not an exaggeration at all to say that over this issue, within the past less than 2 weeks, President Trump has managed to sustain more political damage and self-inflicted blowback on himself than he did when he literally bombed Iran last month. That is an objectively wild thought to consider or to fathom. But if you know anything about how the MAGA grassroots function, it is weirdly expected with how this administration has been going lately.
Suen Sobsang, I want to thank you so much for being with us, senior political reporter at Rolling Stone. We will link to your articles inside Trump's frantic failing mission to crush the Epstein MAGA rebellion and blaming Obama, crooked Hillary. Trump's Epstein memo meltdown gets even worse. Next up, we go to a survivor of Jeffrey Epstein. We turn to Teresa Helm. Stay with us.
¿Por qué me temes? Si soy fruto de algo que no tiene nombre, el error que no comete nunca el hombre. Si estoy hecha para estar arrepentida, temes.
Temes by Ile, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Missing in much of the